So last week I spoke about being stronger in 2018, and so guess what happened this week? I was put to the test. And that's okay. That's going to be what normally happens. When you make a decision to be all in for God, or when you make a decision that you're going to let God strengthen you, do you understand this reality that there will be opposition from the opposition? He is called the adversary for a reason. Let me give you an illustration. If you are parking your truck, your old truck, on the side of a hill, and your old truck does not have very good brakes and the gears don't hold real well, it's a standard transmission, and it has a tendency to roll backwards. But you have to park on this hill, but you've had this truck for a long time, so you know that when you are in your truck, you have in the back of your truck, you got a couple of big blocks of wood. They're already designed to go under the wheels. Why do they go under the tires? They go there to what? To keep it from rolling. Okay, now, if you saw someone, let's say it's not your truck, it's somebody else's truck, and they get these blocks of wood out, and they're lining them up behind their truck about 20 feet. And they say, well, here's my logic. If it starts rolling, then maybe by the time it gets here, it will catch it. How many of you know that you could look really smart, really easy? I have a better idea. Let's take the blocks. Let's put them where? Right against the tire. Because if it never starts moving, it will not start rolling. Now listen to this. When you're trying to move forward for God, be aware of this reality. The devil will try to put a block in your life that keeps you from ever moving. Now, if you understand that, when you sense the block is there, rather than bursting into tears and saying, woe is me, I need to find a cave to live in, you will say, praise God. I'm on the right track. And his blocks aren't strong enough to stop me. I'm going to move forward in the name of Jesus. Do you realize what the devil does with a lot of us? We talk about being strong. He just, man, he brings it right away. And then all of a sudden we quit because I don't know what's going to happen, so I guess I'll just quit. Listen, quitting always, everybody say always. Always. Quitting always. Always guarantees failure. Always. So we're going to be strong in the Lord. Well, this morning I got about 8 hours of material I'm going to give to you in about 20 minutes. I'm leaving a lot of stuff out, so don't be worried. But I want to talk today for a few moments about the value of having a strong prayer life. Listen to the words of Scripture. If you got your notes, follow along. James chapter 5. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you. Now I want to give you a real practical point of information regarding that phrase right there. Just leave that verse right up on the Scripture, on the screen here. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you. You realize at the time of the writing, there were no cell phones, there was no computer, there was no internet. The only option was for people to actually come to the place you are. And that's probably the best option still today, just for the record, too. But when you are sick, what are you supposed to do? Call. Well, I've been sick and nobody ever came to see me. Did you ask anyone to come? Well, your thunderous silence is deafening at this moment. Do you know how many times I've gone to churches to referee? Sometimes when I'm not here on Sundays, I put on a black and white official's shirt and I go to other churches and I try to sort out who fouled who. And you know, in all of those encounters that I can remember, which is probably numbering somewhere around between 70 and 100 of them, every time I've gone, I've never heard anyone say, I've never heard one time, maybe it happened somewhere, I haven't seen it yet. I've never heard anyone say, you know what, this is really my fault. I'm helping you right now. And I'll get to my message, and you got notes, but I'm helping you right now. You know what I've always heard? Well, they didn't do this, and they didn't do that. Do you know that we all have a part of this equation? And can I just tell you right now, on behalf of me and our entire pastoral staff, if you call, we will come. And if you call me and I can't come, then probably Mike's going to come or Kelly's going to come. And if you call Mike and he can't come, then I'll come or Kelly will come or Kevin will come. Or are you getting the picture? Right. Ask and you shall receive. And you know what? Because of modern technology, if you call and I can't come, you know what I'm still going to do? Even if I'm in another state, when you call me and you go, Pastor, I'm going through a problem right now. I need your help. This has happened many times. I may have to say to you, like next weekend, I'm in Tennessee right now, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to agree with you in prayer, and you agree with me on the phone right now, and the Holy Spirit is going to help you. You know what I've discovered? A lot of people prefer to whine and complain and gripe rather than get it right. You're killing me right now. I'm going to speak truth whether you like it or not. And I hope you do like it, but if you don't, the Lord will help you in this matter also. If anybody here is sick, let them call for the elders of the church. By the way, it doesn't even have to be the pastor. I'll come, but my prayers aren't any better than the other people in the church. Some people think, well, if just Brother so-and-so could pray for me, that would... Yeah. Get your faith out of people. Get your faith in the one who heals. I love the faith of the little lady who says, you know, life's kind of tough and I don't have a lot of good things going on right now, but if I can just somehow reach my hand out and I can just even barely scrape across just the hem of his garment, that will be enough. God, put us in a place of faith in you that believes touching you is good. Why do we call for elders of the church? Because sometimes our faith gets so weak because of physical limits. The physical affects the spiritual. It does. It's easier for me to have joy when I don't have pain. But there is a supernatural gifting that gives us joy even in the midst of pain. But in those moments, see, God is never wasteful for even one moment. So every resource he puts in your life is there for purpose and benefit. So when you are sick and all of a sudden, because of the physical limitations, your faith begins to dwindle a little bit, what does he do? He puts brothers and sisters around you who come and they pray for you, and their prayer that's offered up in faith is powerful and effective. Let me go on, because some of you are worried like, oh my goodness, we're not even through the scripture reading yet, and he's just going off. Well, deal with it. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. If you've committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. Verse 16, confess your sins to each other. By the way, confession should always include repentance. Read a story about two guys that were at some meeting, ministers, and they were talking about this verse of scripture. They said, now we're going to take a few moments to confess each other's sins in our lives. And one guy started in, and the guy stopped him about after 3 minutes. And he said, brother, I don't mean to be critical, but it seems to me like you're bragging more than you are confessing. You're reliving all of your old sins. Confession and repentance always go together. Amen. Confess your sins. What does repent mean? Repent means to turn away from, to abandon. Some people, when they're given their testimonies, it's almost about the glory they could have had they not found the Lord. The most glorious experience we'll ever have is when we find Jesus Christ. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for each other. Look at this here. So that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Isn't that awesome? The word earnest there in the Greek language is the word that's energeo, is the one way of pronouncing the word in the Greek. And can anybody figure out what word that sounds like? Energy. The energized prayer, not the, oh, woe is me, oh, everything, but the prayer that has energy in it, the prayer that doesn't give up, the prayer that holds on, the prayer that doesn't quit. I told you this last week, there, and I'll tell you this a little bit later again. I'll come back to it. But there's five or six things that happened this last week that were all a test of my faith too, and other people's in the process. Not all about me, but people I love, people I'm praying for. Five or six things this last week, there were monumental things that happened. They were challenging. But let me tell you about something else that happened, and I'm not going to give you hardly any details on any of these stories, not because I couldn't, but because they're still not at a place to be shared yet. Last week, I saw the result of 3.5 years of prayer for a particular situation to be resolved. I saw the beginning signs of resolution coming. You don't get that, or you'd be really excited right now. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about praying for 3.5 years, having moments where you go, I don't even see how this is going to work out. I don't know if there's any chance. I don't know what's going to go on. I think we need to get a plan B. And God's saying, no, stay with the prayer. I am at work. I will bring to fulfillment that which I start. Being very confident of this thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it. Glory to God. I'm going to be strong in the power of his might. Pray this prayer in faith. Pray this prayer with earnest, with fervency, and it does good things. Let me jump on down. One of the primary requests of the disciples, teach us to pray. In the Bible, here are just some thoughts for you. There are 650 prayers listed in the Bible. I didn't count them. I just read it from somebody else, but I trust them. The New Testament records Jesus praying 25 times. Now you may think, well, 25, I thought it'd be more than that. Do you realize that the book of John, for example, the first half of the book is about almost all of his life up to the last week. And the last half of the book of John is what happened in the last week of the life of Jesus. The gospel writers did not record every incident that occurred. John himself said it this. He said, if I were to try to write down everything that happened in the life of Jesus, it would fill all the books and all the world up just trying to tell what he did. But I'm telling you, 25 times the gospel writers made note of the fact of Jesus praying. That is incredibly significant. Prayer was a major component of the life of Jesus. Paul talks about prayer, mentions it 41 times. The Bible commands us to have prayer at the center of our lives. There are places in the Scripture where it tells us we're to pray without ceasing. It talks about people in Scripture, like in Acts chapter 10, who always prayed. And then we read in Ephesians 6:18, never stop praying. In Ephesians 1:16, I pray about you always. Colossians 4:12 and 1:9, 1 Thessalonians 1:7, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. All of these things remind us of the value of continual prayer. Now, the problem in life for most of us is not that we don't know, it's that we don't do. I took our staff through a video seminar on Thursday, and it was all talking about how to have your best year ever. And one of the things that Michael Hyatt talks about in his article, or in this seminar, he talks about the importance of writing down your goals, what you're trying to accomplish, and that written list will help you to be more productive. Here's what he says. I won't take time to do it today, but he says, every time I do a seminar like this, I start off with this question. How many of you believe that written goals are helpful and productive for achieving your goals? And he says, it's always 100% affirmation. Everybody says, yes, I believe that. Some people even get excited and nod their head, and if it were a church service, they'd say, amen, praise God, yes. But then he says, I say, put your hands down. And I say, how many of you actually truly have a list of written goals that you could provide for me if I asked to see it? And here's what he said, about 5%. And 95% looked down at their shoes. Isn't it funny how we always look down at our shoes? Like, something magical is going to happen. So I can ask today, how many of you believe that regular devotion to prayer is important to your spiritual growth? And probably we'd have 100%. I think that we would, but if then I ask how many of you do that, it'd probably be a lot less. So today I'm not here to guilt you into prayer. I'm not here to legalize you into prayer. Neither one of those things work very well. I'm here to put out in front of you today the benefits of prayer and how it makes you more effective in the kingdom of God. So I'm going to move very quick. You probably could write 6 sermons, even if you're not a sermon writer, from the things that I'm going to share right now, and you could come up with your own list. Well, let me give you one more thought, and then we'll jump into it. 3 keys that will help you to have a stronger prayer life. One is this, a daily commitment. Listen, it's not important to me personally how long you pray. God will help you with that, and that'll grow the more you do it. If you're not praying at all, daily prayer time, if you don't have any of that, don't make the mistake of saying, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up at 4 o'clock and pray for an hour. If the Spirit inspires it and it's Spirit-born, it will work. But more times than not, here's what I've seen, what I've experienced. When I have that kind of moment in my life, and it's just kind of, because how do we get strong? I talked about it last week. Let me go back to this. How do we get strong in the spiritual journey? We get strong by being weak. Hold on a minute. It doesn't even make sense. It's called a paradox. It's a statement that appears to be false, but in reality is true. And here's what it is. We are, when we recognize our own weakness and we say, Lord, I've got to have your strength. I've got to have your power. I need you to strengthen me. That's when we become strong. There's this story, one of the funny stories in the Bible. I've laughed at this for so long. There's a funny story in the Bible about some guys who think they're really strong and they're going to cast the demon out of this guy. And they go over there and go, I mean, they have the whole, we come to you in the name and we cast you out. And the demon goes, well, Peter, I know, and Paul, I know, but I don't know you guys. And the one guy proceeds to beat them all up, to rip their clothes off of them, and they run out of the house naked and wounded. That's just a funny picture to me. I don't want to be anybody in that story. We don't come in our power, we don't come in our strength, but we have strength in the name of the Lord. So this daily routine, do it every day. Set a time, set an appointment. If the morning is kind of better for me most occasions, but it may be at night, it may be at noon, but have a time when you're going to meet with God and set that as an appointment on your phone, on your calendar, on your watch, whatever you have, set that appointment and do it. Have a daily commitment to prayer. Second, have a written list. What are you going to pray about? Now, you probably ought to be readjusting less frequently. Our friend Neil Kendi, who's here with us today, he shared this not long ago. He has a top 10 things he's praying for every day. And he says, I never go back to yesterday's list and recreate it. I start fresh every day. Because if it's not on my heart today, then maybe that's not a thing I should be praying as much about. The Lord will help me to do that. And as you do that, the Lord will direct your path. We have prayer lists out in the front. It's on the website. It's on the app. We're trying to put in front of you a daily prayer guide, people in our church to pray for. If you look on the internet, you'll find a lot of other things to pray for. There are a lot of lists that are out there. Get something specific and know what you're praying for. And know this, that as you start this journey, you will grow. Your commitment will get stronger to the calendar. Your commitment will get stronger to the list. You'll know what you're doing. But if you go, I don't like legalism, so I'm not going to do that. Can I tell you where you're going to be a year from now? Right where you are today. You're going to be at the same place. Well, I don't want legalism. Okay, laziness isn't that great either. Well, I'm just going to do as I feel led. That's the biggest hooey in Oklahoma. Since when did your promptings become the key to what you ought to do in life? As you feel led, sounds real spiritual, but it's not. I'm going to do what's right, whether I feel it or not. I'm not going to have to wait for some internal prompting. I'm going to make a commitment because you know why? You know why you need to pray every day? Can I help you out with this? Because the Bible commands it. But I don't feel it. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize your feelings trumped the commands of Scripture. Well, I just want it to be natural. Yeah, that's like all of us saying, you know, I want to lose weight, but I'm just going to do it by kind of eating whatever I want to and believing that the natural process of life is going to be beneficial. No, if you want to get in shape, you got to exercise, you got to cut back, you got to cut out. You want to get strong spiritually, you got to figure out the right things to do. Okay, here's the fastest 6 points you ever heard in your life. Well, how will it benefit you to have a stronger prayer life? Number one, it'll give you recognition of God's presence. When you pray every day, you will become more clearly aware of the fact God is with me. When you talk with God every day, your awareness of His presence. You'll have less times where you're saying, oh God, where are you? Instead, you'll be saying, hey God, here I am. When you pray every day, it will change your awareness of God. Number two, I could go more, but I got to go. It will activate the power of God. This verse we just read from James chapter 5 says that the prayer, the fervent, the energized prayer of a righteous man is powerful. Now, it's not that it's me, it's not that it's my prayer, but it's my faith in God that activates the power of God to intervene on my behalf. Now, Kelly talked about it so beautifully earlier. It's not that I'm trying to tell God what to do, but I'm trying to line myself up with Him and with His Word, and I trust Him, and I didn't even get to that third point on the three things, but a daily commitment, a written list, and the third thing is the right view of God. God is a loving Father. Jesus is a passionate one who looks out for us with love and mercy and grace. How many of you believe that God wants what's best for your life? How many of you believe that God wants what is best for your life? Now, how many of you know that what God knows is best is probably not what you think is best? When I was a kid, I thought eating ice cream every meal would be a tremendous experience of life. My mom and dad had another idea. You need to eat some green beans. Two things wrong with that statement, green and beans. You need to make good... How many of you know as you grow older, your love for ice cream does not diminish, by the way. But your ability to recognize what you need to do should grow a little bit. If not, you're going to be in big trouble. It's a word called discipline, which also has the root of disciple connected to it. When I pray every day, when I get stronger in my prayer life, it activates God's power. When I pray every day, when I get a stronger prayer life, it helps me to embrace God's promises. I look at the Word of God as things that I can claim, that I can believe, that I can access, that I can say, this is what the Word of God says. I'm standing on it. It's not mystical. It's not flippant. It's not casual. It's a deep commitment of my heart. I have connected with God. We are linked together. I am woven into the braid that He is. We are one together through my faith in Him. And because of that, the promises of God are mine. I can claim them. I can stand upon them, not casually, not flippantly, but growing and understanding every day. Matthew 7 says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Isn't that a great word right there? Keep on seeking. By the way, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Don't say ask one time, then quit. Look one time, then stop. How tragic would it be in life to later on realize that you were only minutes away from a prayer being answered, but you quit before it got there? Keep on. Keep on knocking. The door will be open. Listen to this. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be open. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, here's the key to this whole passage right here. How much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? When I move into this place of growing in my prayer life, it helps me to embrace God's promise. A fourth benefit. There's six of them this morning. The fourth one, it releases God's peace into my life. Philippians 4, I love the New Living Translation of this. always be full of joy in the Lord. You're full of something. How about making it joy? I say it again, rejoice. Let every one of you see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. That's a great word for us. Don't worry about anything. Instead, what does it say? Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience what? God's peace. Isn't it amazing how the Bible makes that just so simple to understand? Don't worry about... Make sure we get this today, okay? Don't worry about... Anything. Pray about... Everything. Be thankful. Tell God what you need. And then... What does it say there? What's going to happen? God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. That peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. See, growing a stronger prayer life will help you to release God's peace into your life. A fifth thing. Stronger prayer life will help me to promote God's purpose. James talks about this a little bit. Shouldn't come into application for most of us here, hopefully. But he says, James says this, sometimes you ask, you don't receive because you ask with impure motives. We can fix that real quick. Get your motives right. What's the impure motives James talks about? So that you may consume it upon yourself because you're just wanting self. See, let me give you a litmus test here. If whatever the bulk of your prayer is about reflects where your heart is. So if the bulk of my prayers are about me, what that indicates is that I have a very selfish view of life. If the bulk of my prayers is about other people, that shows that I'm not selfish, but that I'm concerned toward others. That's an improvement. Okay, I'm going worst, better, and best. If the bulk of my prayer is about God, then that shows that I really have an understanding of who He is. Wouldn't it be awesome if you got so caught up in the worship of God that you did kind of like they did in Acts chapter 4, that they have a serious problem and a praise session breaks out. And then at the end of their prayer, because they're afraid they're going to be put in jail and possibly killed, at the end of their prayer, they go, it's almost like a parenthetical, oh, by the way, God, we forgot to bring this up earlier because we're just so overwhelmed by how awesome you are. But if you could get those guys to stay off our backs for a little bit, we like to have power to keep preaching. Understand, we take our needs to God. I'm not saying that's not there at all, but I think for many people in general, and especially in the American culture, for many of us, that our prayer life has a whole lot to do with God. Here's my 43 things I want done by noon tomorrow. And here's how you need to do it, because you may not be aware of that. And when God's wanting us to come to Him and say, first of all, God, I worship You because You're so awesome. Your understanding is so much greater than mine. Your love for me is so incredible that you can't keep your eyes off of me. God, I know that. You're protecting me. You're watching over me. That's why when I tell you when you pray over your meal, some of you get like scared when I'm around, you're going to pray wrong. That's not the point. You're missing it altogether. I'm encouraging you to realize in that prayer time, the first thing we ought to do is say, oh, God, thank You that we have food to eat. Thank You, God, for all of Your blessings. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for this food. And thank You, God, You've designed it to taste good. Can somebody say amen? It's getting close to the noon hour. Some of you feeling that right now. Thank You, God, that thank You, God. Instead of going through some rote prayer that we don't even think about. Can I get a witness? Prayer will help you to promote God's purpose. You can ask God for revelation. Ephesians 1:17, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you may grow in your knowledge of God. How many of you want spiritual wisdom and insight? Shout amen. Amen. God, give us that so we know how to promote your purpose. Ask for spiritual gifts. Ask for spiritual fruit. Ask for spiritual blessings. Pray for personal maturity. Pray for wisdom. Pray for direction in life. If you come back tonight, we'll tell you a little bit more about that part. The last thing I want to go to today is that we pray that prayer, a good prayer life, will strengthen God's people. Let me go back through these six real quick. A good prayer life will assist you in recognizing God's presence, activating God's power, embracing God's promises, releasing God's peace, promoting God's purpose. The last one is this: it will strengthen God's people.